is a coffee hour. I'm Sarah Gulseth. It's just me in the studio today, which is a little sad. But I am caffeinated, so it is still the coffee hour. I have my my Peruvian coffee for all of our listeners, or one listener who cares what I'm drinking in studio. It's Friday. It's April 27th, the last day, or the last Friday in April. We'll be ushering in May next week, and it's actually spring outside today, which is very, very exciting. Beautiful weekend ahead of us. Thanks to our underwriters, Concordia University Wisconsin, for their support of the coffee hour. And as Andy says, for supporting my coffee habit. You can find Concordia University Wisconsin on their website, cuw.edu, or you can go to our website, kfuo.org, and find them in our underwriter section. Since it's just today, me in the studio today, we're going to talk about womanly things. Proverbs 31 specifically. Maybe you've seen Proverbs 31 Ministries on the website, on their website, or on Facebook, or somewhere. Maybe a friend is familiar with Proverbs 31 Ministries, or something of that nature. Joining me by phone today is Elizabeth Allman, who is the author of Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman from CPH. And we're gonna chat a little bit about what it actually means to be a Proverbs 31 woman. So welcome, Elizabeth, to the coffee hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And happy Friday to you down there in Texas now.
Thank you. Happy Friday. Fridays are good.
Fridays are very good. Give me just like a brief overview of Proverbs 31, what it is, and how we see it in mainstream culture and American evangelicalism.
Sure. So Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 is sort of the hymn to the faithful woman, and it's a very well-known passage right at the very end of the book of Proverbs. And it's very popular in a lot of women's ministries, and a lot of books have been written about it, and a lot of them sort of focus on how to be the Proverbs 31 woman, and it usually has something to do with the law in a lot of ways, and do, and be, and makes it kind of pulls it out of its context and makes it all about us, rather than looking more deeply at what it's really showing us.
Absolutely. And if our listeners aren't familiar, go find Proverbs 31 and go read it and see what it says. But you're right. It is a lot of the things that this woman does. And it's all very, honorable things and noble things. But if you read it exactly the way it is, that's a very high bar for somebody to try to live up to.
Right. It feels like this really long, crazy, hard to attain list of things to do as a wife and mother in order to be the excellent wife or the faithful wife. And what's really happening here is we have this genre of sort of the hymn genre, and also an ode to an Arabic type of writing, which is called the wasl, which usually extols and praises the person that it's written about. It's usually a physical description, and you see this actually in Song of Songs, and so there's a chapter in the book that compares the two women. But the wasp is sort of from the lover's point of view, and it extols everything about the person that they love. And so you see in the Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 passage, that we have this sort of list-like wasp genre, but it lists the things that she does and who she is instead of physical beauty. But this list would have been, all of the items on the list are fairly typical items for a woman of sort of middle, upper middle class at that time, but sort of exaggerated and to show sort of the ideal. And so it's not really something that we're expected to be exactly like this list, you know.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
that That would be a little much. I was reading through some blogs just to kind of get an idea of what's out there on the internet, and there was one blog that says this is not a checklist for finding a wife because it's not attainable, really.
No, and I think what you have to do really is you have to understand it within the context of Proverbs, and you have to understand it as speaking comfort to us about who our Savior is, what the church is, and who we are in Him, rather than an exact list of everything that we have to do and be, or translated into modern, ways of doing things that we have to be, baking everything from scratch and cleaning the house 300 times a day. I'm really bad at house cleaning, by the way, so I would fail on that one.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, so this is not really what the thrust of it is.
So how do we view this little section of Proverbs in light of the rest of the book? How does it kind of fit in with all of the rest of them?
So you have to really look at the first 9 chapters of Proverbs as the lens through which you read the rest of the Proverbs. And what happens in those first 9 chapters is that it sets us up with this dichotomy of the way of Yahweh versus the way of being folly, and that the way of Yahweh is wisdom, is life, and fear of the Lord, which is awe and reverence and trust and faith in Him. And that kind of runs counter to Dame Folly or the adulterous woman who leads astray and brings you into death, and her house is death. And so this woman at the end of the book of Proverbs really builds on that picture that comes from the first 9 chapters of the faithful woman, of wisdom herself, and that this is sort of the concluding picture of wisdom. And wisdom is kind of speaking to you throughout Proverbs 1-9, off and on. She's crying from the heights. She's standing at the crossroads and calling out, come to me, come and have life. I have sought you, I call you, come to me. And that culminates in chapter 8, where we see wisdom speaking about herself. And wisdom is personified as a woman because this word in the Hebrew for wisdom is in the feminine conjunction, like a lot of abstract nouns are in Hebrew. But when you look at Proverbs 8, you take this turn from wisdom speaking sort of about how precious wisdom is to wisdom talking about how it was there at the beginning with God and everything was created through it and it delights in the children of man. And we find that Christ is the wisdom of God. So this is a way of showing us Christ as the wisdom of God. And then you see that the Proverbs 31:10-31 picture completes that picture of the wisdom of God. And in that way, it's actually a portrait of Christ and all he does for us. It does not mean that Christ is a woman. Christ is a man, right? But it shows us his unfailing love for us, his complete and total faithfulness, the fact that he never rests from his labors, the fact that he clothes us in the robes of righteousness. All these things that we see listed for this woman have a counterpart in what God does for us in Christ.
So through this lens, we can see Christ in this proverb. And you mentioned viewing this proverb as a portrait of Christ and as a portrait of the church, and how we see ourselves in Christ. We have about 2 minutes left. Can you briefly run through what those mean?
Sure. So we talked about how we can see Jesus at work for us in the hymn. Here at the end, but you can also see parallels to the church, and that really comes out when you compare the Proverbs 31:10-31 to woman to the bride of Song of Songs. And we see that the church gathers us into the household of faith. The church teaches us kindness, that's chesed, that's God's faithfulness and loving kindness. The church clothes us in righteousness, and the church delivers to us the gifts that God has to give. It provides for us, feeds us, cares for us. And that's how Jesus, you know, Jesus works through the church to do those things for us. And then we can also see the woman as example of who we already are declared to be in Christ. We are all faithful people of God when we are baptized into his name. And so we can see that this is who we are, that Christ works in and through us in our vocation and declares us to be faithful women, faithful men, faithful people of God.
Absolutely. And your book is available from CPH, Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Just under a minute left. Can you explain how women, either by themselves or maybe in a small group, can use this book to really dig into this proverb and understand what it means?
Sure. So in the book, you have throughout the book, there are questions interspersed within the text. So if you're reading it as an individual, you can read a small section of a chapter, answer the questions that come right after that, and then you can set it aside and not have to worry about forgetting what you've read because the next set of questions will go with the next set of text. So the questions are closely related to where you are in the text at the time. And then in a group, it's really great, I would say, to read ahead and kind of jot down your answers and then come ready to discuss. And some things that could be fun to do would be to look more closely at some of the key terms and concepts that I have listed at the beginning of each chapter. Maybe do a little more research on those, things like that.
Awesome. Elizabeth Allman, author of Demystifying the Proverbs 31 Woman. Thanks so much for joining me on the Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. More Coffee Hour coming up next.